have your word. Your word is truth to us. Your word is life to us. And Lord, that's what we want. We want you to pour in your word, you to pour in your life to us today so that we can just look at things differently, so that as we approach the coming school year, Lord, that we're made alive in you and we're not dreading this, but Lord, we're looking to see what you're going to do this year, and we're expecting miracles, and we're expecting, Father, just God, just your grace to meet us in those hard times and those challenging places. And so, Lord, today we welcome you in, and we pray that your word would find its place in Jesus' name. We pray all these things. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Good to see you guys. As Taylor said a little earlier, you do have this these cards on your seats there. I want to tell you kind of what today starts for us. It's not just Comeback Sunday, but I want today to also start 21 days of just prayer for our church. And what we see is this: as a staff, we talk about this. Church leadership, we kind of know this, and you may feel this, and maybe nobody's ever put it into words for you, that there almost seems to be two starting points in the year. If you're a parent, especially kids, we all start the year together in January, right? And it's like, hey, we're thinking about starting the new year fresh, and everything's kind of getting back in a routine. Well, you know, August is kind of like that second restart that we get for a lot of us. In a way, it's a way for us to restart after summer vacation. Anybody, did you take a summer vacation? Gosh, I'm so sad. Oh, a few, okay, hey, raise it up. If you took a summer vacation, be proud of that, right? Because summer's gone, okay? And I know it feels like it still, but it's gone. So you know, this is almost like a restart in the air, a second restart. So that's, while we're talking about, this is a series, and this is not just Comeback Sunday. This is a comeback series for the next three Sundays. So there's 21 days that we're going to be talking about comeback and praying for comeback. And today, specifically, we're talking about that in terms of students and parents and teachers, educators, administrators, counselors, bus drivers. We're praying for your comeback. We're praying for you today specifically, and this week specifically, as you start school, that you start on the right foot, right? That's that you start strong. We want you to start strong. We want you to be able to finish strong. And we know that there may be all this apprehension. There may be all this anxiety that comes with a brand new start, maybe a brand new grade that you're going into, right? Unless you're like me and you just repeated grades over and over and over. No, that wouldn't. I'm just kidding. You know, and sometimes it takes us a little bit to get it, right? And so there's anxiety about that. There is apprehension and the unknown about, I don't know what this is going to look like. And so today what we have, we've brought out our storyboard again. Anybody remember the storyboard from back around Easter? And we brought it back, and now it is transformed into a blackboard, okay, for this occasion. And we're going to ask you to do something with that in a little bit. And so I want you to turn with me. I want you to go with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus is where we're heading today. Exodus chapter 3 specifically will be in Exodus 3 and 4. So you can just kind of leave your Bible there, but just you could actually take this and put this in your Bible and use this kind of as a mark as ways to pray. It's two-sided, ways to pray. The blue side is ways to pray for students and teachers, educators. The orange side is general comeback prayers that we're going to be talking about over the next 2 weeks after this, because we're not praying just for school comebacks. We're praying for the general life comeback. Hey, I need to come back in my health. I need to come back in my finances. I need to come back in my marriage. Whatever comeback that is that you need, that's what we're going to be addressing over the next few weeks. So you can just kind of use that as a place to mark in your Bible. How many of you guys remember, just close your eyes real quick. Close your eyes real quick. How many of you can remember what your school bell sounded like? Anybody, do you remember that right now? Yeah, do you have that in your head? And we didn't play this. Last time we played sound effects in church service, when somebody watched it online, their dogs freaked out. And so we don't want any dogs just flipping out today. But if you kind of get that in your head, you get that ringing in your head. Some of you say, I have that ringing in my ears all the time, Pastor, okay? That's for a different reason, okay? But, you know, if you can remember maybe what that bell sounded like. I can kind of remember a little bit what that bell sounded like. I think we've progressed from bells to more of like tones now. We're upscale. We're upgraded from bells to tones. But if you think about that bell, and what that bell signified was this. That bell signified that it was time to start school, right? It was a time to start class, or it was a time to start a new class, transition to the next class, or go to my favorite subject is lunch, right? How many of you majored in lunch in college? You know, I did that. You didn't know you could do that, did you? You know, and so you have these transition moments. You have these times where you're restarting. You're starting or restarting. And that's kind of what this is. That's kind of what this is about. And this bell that you're thinking of right now isn't just calling our kids back to school. This is a bell that is calling you back to your calling, right? It's calling you as a parent back to, hey, this is the restart for, we've been kind of lazing around all summer long. It's restarting. We're getting back to life. And that's what this series is about. We're calling it Back to Life. Anybody remember Soul to Soul in the 80s? Back to life. Back to reality. All right, there's my people. Okay. All right, so that's what we're talking about, really. I mean, that's kind of what it is, right? Back to life, back to reality. It's kind of, man, and we don't want that reality to be like hitting a wall. Oh, my goodness. We got to get up. We got to go back to school. We got to go back to work. We've got to go back to whatever it is we're going back to, right? And sometimes that can be jarring, and we don't want that to be jarring for you. Actually, we want this to be intentional where we're aware of what God wants to say. And so today we're going to talk about Moses because I believe that God did this with Moses. Moses thought he was just on the backside of the desert tending sheep. He thought that he was about 80 years old at this point. At 80 years old, I don't know how many of you are thinking about going back to any kind of education, right? Maybe not. You said, man, I've learned a lot, and I'm going to leave that with somebody else, okay? But Moses, at 80 years old, is about to be schooled. He's about to have to come back from the place that he's been in. And so let's go to Exodus chapter 3, and let me set this scene up for you real quick. Moses, he's been living in exile for the last 40 years, okay? And when he left Egypt in the beginning, he was 40 years old. He has now been in exile, basically tending sheep for his father-in-law in the wilderness for the last 40 years. So he is 80 years old, and he's been living this very quiet, very predictable life. There's not been a lot of drama about this. But his summer vacation, in a sense, is about to end, okay? Because when we pick this up, you see something happening here that I believe is important for us. So let's go to Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And it says, "And now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." This is also where you would say this is Mount Sinai. Horeb and Sinai are the same place. And so Horeb, the mountain of God. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight," which I think is a little bit underwhelming. I think it was probably a little more excited than that. "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look at God." And so what we see here is that Moses, do you understand? Moses is at work. He's just basically doing his job as a shepherd tending the sheep. He's basically just going about this random, maybe it's a random Tuesday, random Thursday, whatever it is, the most mundane part of the week that you can think about. That's probably Moses right here. He's just doing his job. He's clocked in with the sheep, and now he sees this great sight. And I think the first thing I want you to get is this, that holy ground happens in ordinary places. I want you to get that. Holy ground happens in ordinary places. This was just an ordinary place. It was an ordinary day, and Moses was doing his ordinary job, and God shows up. And that's what happens sometimes, is that it transforms from being just an ordinary place to a sacred space. It transforms from being an ordinary place to holy ground. And so Moses, he wasn't in a temple. He was at work. He was in the wilderness. And God made it holy, not because it was a sacred ground at that point, but it's because God was present at that point. And that's what changed. God was present in that moment, and it changed that space, and it changed that ground, and it changed that moment to something else. And I want you to think about this, parents, you know, what is that ordinary space for you? Where is that ordinary place for you during the week as you're getting ready to start? I remember when I had to sit in car rider lines. Anybody, car rider lines, you get a lot of reading done. You know, you can jam out on your air guitar and your air drums, you know, let all the other cars look at you and envy you and your music skills, you know. Or they think you're crazy, which is probably more likely. You know, we have car rider lines, we have bus stops. All these things seem very, very ordinary. The drop-off line. I want you to understand that these places, although they seem very ordinary, they can become holy spaces. They can become holy moments if we're willing to allow God to show up and make that ordinary place become something else. Right? Teachers, educators. What is that ordinary space for you? What, maybe it's your classroom. Maybe it's the cafeteria. Maybe it's the lunchroom. Maybe it's out on the football field. What is that? Maybe it's on the bus. Where is that ordinary place for you? Maybe it's that stressful meeting place, right? And it's just like, man, this is just, there's a lot of things that are going on here. That place right there, I want you to know, is a place where God can show up and he can transform it. But we have to allow him to do that. We have to invite him to do that. It's in those moments. It's not that God doesn't want to. It's that we have to be aware that God's going to want to step into these moments and step into these places. And so holy ground happens in ordinary places. It's not about things being perfect. And sometimes I know that we think, I want an encounter with God. God, I need an encounter with you. I need to hear from you right now. And we put on the worship music and, you know, maybe we get in our prayer closet and, you know, we're just, you know, bombarding heaven with our prayers, and that's all good, and that is great. You should do that. But I think there are plenty of other times where it's chaotic, where it's stressful, and you're just at work, and God says, hey, I want to show up right now. I want to show up right here. I want to show up in this moment. I want to show up in this meeting. I want to show up in this conversation. I want to show up in this lesson plan. I want to show up right now. And so this isn't about perfection, but this is about God's presence. And it's where God is present, ground becomes holy, even if it smells like a cafeteria or a middle school boys' locker room. Come on, somebody. And somebody, you just kind of, ooh, you felt that, you know? If you've ever been to a middle school boys' locker room, I remember those days when I was in middle school. It was horrible because I was one of them, you know? And so as we read on to Exodus 3, verse 7 and 8, and it says, and then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry, and I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them. And what is God saying here? God is saying this. He's basically saying, hey, I see you. How many of you sometimes you think, nobody sees me. I nobody cares about my stuff. God sees you. God hears you, and God comes down, and he does that same thing he did for them at that moment in Israel, or in Egypt, for Israel. He does that today. He sees you, he hears you, and he comes down, and he's ready to make the ordinary space something else. And so this is what we see in Moses' story, that he allows these places to become transformed. The second thing that we find is this, is that we move on in the story of Exodus, Exodus 3, verse 10 and 11. What does it say? And it says, come and I will send you to Pharaoh. Right? If you don't know who Pharaoh is like the king. He's like the most powerful man in the known world at that time. And so, come and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, right? I'm sure you would have said the same thing. If we said, hey, we're going to send you up to Washington to speak to Congress, to speak to the president, to speak to our national leaders, and you'd probably say, who am I that they would want to listen to me? Which they probably should listen to us, but who am I that they would listen to me? And this is what the translation of that is. God, I am not qualified, right? That is what Moses is basically saying right here. Does that sound familiar? Right? Is anybody that's kind of where you've been? God, I am not qualified. And so Moses, God wasn't saying to Moses, Moses, I'm going to make this easy. And he doesn't say to Moses, hey, don't worry, Pharaoh's actually a really nice guy. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, hey, I promise to make your path smooth or there's going to be simple solutions. That's not what God says. What God does say is this, and this is what he says. He says, basically, this is the paraphrase version, go into the hardest situation imaginable, face the most powerful man in the known world, demand something that he'll never want to give up, and oh, by the way, you stutter, okay? Think about that. Think about that's what God was calling Moses to do. And can you imagine his apprehension? Right? We would be apprehensive to do that. Well, step into that situation. And the temptation may look like this to parents. The temptation might be this, where a parent might say, I'm not qualified to do this. I'm not qualified to handle all this chaos. I'm not qualified to deal with this situation. Or maybe what if the teacher doesn't understand my child? Right? My child, I love my child, and I spend all this time, and now I've got to pass my kid off to this teacher who may not understand my child, right? What if my kid struggles, and I just don't know how to fix their struggles? What if we hit something that I don't know how to deal with, right? In this, those questions, they're all the same thing that Moses said. Hey, who am I? Who am I to do any of this? You know what? Maybe you're the teacher or the educator, right? And you've got your own questions of this. You know, maybe you answer this, or your question is this. Said, I'm not equipped to reach all these different kinds of learning styles. Anybody? You know? When you start looking at all the kids and it's just kind of this, it's like, how do I do this? They may have all these different challenges and all the different ways that they learn. How do I do that? What if a parent doesn't support what I'm wanting to do? Right? You know, that can be difficult, those difficult parent-teacher conversations where you're wanting the parent to hear, hey, I'm here to help your kid, and I want you to see that. So what happens if the parent doesn't see that? What do I do with that? What if I can't handle the behavior problems this year? What if I just have a class that's just nuts and crazy? What do I do with that, right? See, all these are things that we're saying, hey, what is this going to look like? And some of you that aren't educators. See, I'm not an educator, but I get to live with one, and she's amazing. She's an amazing musician. She's an amazing teacher. She's an amazing mom. She's an amazing wife. And so I see all this, and also see some of her frustrations sometimes because she wants to be the best teacher she can be, right? And so, you know, when I see that, I think, wow, she's got all that. She's still, you know, is apprehensive sometimes. It happens. See, maybe you think, I don't have what it takes. Moses thought the same way. Moses said, God, who am I? See, God's calling comes in the middle of reality, not away from it. See, I think sometimes, once again, we think we got to get in this perfect place where everything's just, you know, it's very spiritual and it's mood is set and all this stuff. And it's like, all right, God, I'm ready to hear from you. But it's right there in that moment of reality in the middle of work. That's where God got Moses' attention. And probably where God wants to get your attention to, right? Where you're in the middle of, hey, I don't understand how I'm supposed to do all this. I don't have enough resources for this. See, God doesn't eliminate Moses' reality. God transforms Moses' understanding of that reality. I want you to get that. He doesn't eliminate the reality. He just transforms Moses, the way Moses perceives it and the way Moses looks at it and says, okay, It's the same enemy I faced before. It's the same challenge that I faced before, but I'm seeing it differently. How is he seeing it differently? God doesn't say, you're more qualified than you think you are, Moses. He doesn't say that. But what does he do? God says, I am is with you, Moses. Who is I am? I am. Who is I am? I am is God. And God says, I am with you. I will go with you. I am the God who, when he says I am, it means he's all sufficient. He has everything that he needs to get the job done. Although Moses may feel like he doesn't have everything he needs, I am says, I am with you. I am with you. And God doesn't say to Moses, Pharaoh is going to be reasonable, right? He doesn't say that. But what he does say is this. He says, I will give you strength, Moses. I will give you strength. I will be with you, and I will give you strength. You know, and these are things that God says, you know. And he doesn't tell Moses, he says, hey, you're not going to face opposition at all, right? You're just going to roll right through this thing. Nope, he doesn't say that. But what he does say, he says, you won't face it alone. And that changes it. It doesn't eliminate the reality. It changes your understanding of that reality. How many of you just say, God, can you change my understanding of the reality that I'm facing? Can you help me to see the reality that I'm facing can be different? Exodus 3:12. But I will be with you. That's what he tells Moses. Exodus 3:12. I will be with you. God doesn't reduce reality. He just redefines it. And that's what some of us need. We don't need God to eliminate our reality and change our whole story and change the whole scenario. We just need God to help us see it differently. We need God to help us see that we're not on this on our own, that he's going to be with us, he's going to strengthen us, he's going to help us have the words to say. And every one of us needs that. Last thing I want to show you in this story is interesting, because if we go to chapter 4, kind of you look at this entire story, Moses is still just trying to come up with every excuse why he should not go, God should not send him, why he's not qualified, I'm slow in speech, God. And so God finally, you go to chapter 4, and God gets a little frustrated with him. And he's like, hey, stop it. stop doing this. You're going, and this is how I am going to send you. And in Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a staff. And he said, throw it to the ground. And so he threw it to the ground, and it became a serpent. And he goes on and says, but the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. And so he caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. And what was God trying to show Moses in this whole act? He says, God is using what's already in your hand. God's asking you to use what is already in your possession. And so sometimes, remember, we've talked about this before, where we say, God, I need you to give me this, and I need you to give me this. And it's when we go back, we did this series just a few weeks ago already. And remember the passage of Scripture that we read? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So when you're looking at your situation, when you're looking at the circumstances of your comeback, whether it's going back to school, whatever it is, and God looks at you and says, what's in your hand? What's he really asking you? He didn't give Moses something new. He used something that Moses already had. And so parents, what's in your hand? Right? Well, if you're a parent, what is that morning routine that you have? What is that car ride that maybe you have? What is that the dinner table that you already have, right? You know, that time where the family's going to be together. Those are very ordinary moments, and it seems like a very ordinary tool to get the job done, right? What is that? But that's something that God can use. That is something that God wants to step into. And in that moment, it seems very ordinary. Teachers, educators, what is in your hand? What is that? It's the influence that you have, maybe. It's that lesson plan. Or maybe, you know, as you're praying over the desk that are in your room. And it's before the kids come in, you know. And you're just saying, I'm praying for this kid. Whatever that kid's name is. And you might start finding out, you know, their life and their challenges that they're facing at home. That you say, God, they got it rough. And so I'm praying for them. right? How would that change, right? See, sometimes we think God got pulled out of school back in the 1960s. Some people talk that way. I don't believe that at all. I believe that God is still there, because every time that you have a teacher who is a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower in Jesus, Jesus goes to school. Every time a student who is a believer in Jesus Christ and is a follower of Jesus and lives their life surrendered to Jesus, Jesus goes to school. And so Jesus, you know who's getting ready to go back to school? Jesus. Jesus is getting ready to go back to school. He's got his backpack and he's ready to go, okay? All right. And so this morning, as we just kind of wrap this up, you know, God takes your ordinary and he turns it into a miracle. What is that? What's in your hand? What is it that you have that's very ordinary and God can use to bring about a miracle? So I don't know. I'm not in your situation, but you are. And I think that as you begin to pray this prayer, God, help me to see things differently. God, you're not going to eliminate my reality, but I need you to change my perspective on the reality that I have. I need you to help me to see it differently. I need you to help me to see the things that are ordinary as becoming extraordinary, right? Those things that are just plain, they become like surreal in a way. They become miracles in a way. What is that for you? What can God do this year in your home, in your classroom, on your car rides, on your bus, when you have cafeteria duty, whatever that is? What can you submit to God to allow him to say, hey, I want to use this moment. I want to use this conversation. I want to use your life to signal to somebody else, to be the bell to signal to somebody else, right? Maybe that's it. Maybe your walk with Jesus is the bell that's ringing, right? And it's getting somebody's attention. It's that bell that rings, and maybe nobody really perceives that except for that one person that God's like really dialing in for them, and they're saying, man, I need to talk to them. I don't know what's going on. This is my life. This is what I'm, maybe they've got to share their story with you so that in some way you can say, hey, this is what God's done for me. This is what God has done in my life. So I'm going to ask somebody to come play, and I want to wrap this up this morning. And I want you guys to stand with me. See, Moses didn't ask for a burning bush experience. He wasn't praying, oh, dear God, please light the forest on fire. Okay? It's not what he was praying. He was just doing his job, and God showed up. How cool would that be? You're just doing your job, and God shows up. See, some of you have had that experience before where you were just doing your job. You were just doing what is ordinary, and God showed up. And you were like, man, I never saw that coming. And you said, we invite that. Or we welcome that. We welcome these experiences. So in the same way, you know, maybe you didn't ask for the challenges that you're going to be facing this school year. Right? Maybe there's challenges that are going to present themselves. And you say, man, I didn't ask for this. God, I'm trying to figure out what to do with this. You see, God wants to show up in those moments. In those classrooms, on those car rides to school. God wants to show up in those conversations, in those moments. So this is what I want to do. Today we are, like I said, we brought the blackboard back out. And what we want you to do is this morning. They're going to sing a song. They're going to come back and sing a song from Foundation. And while they're singing this song, I want you not only to sing this song with us, but I want you to step out, and I want you to come find one of these little chalk markers, and I want you to just write a name on here. Maybe it's the name of your child. Maybe if you're a student, it's your name. Maybe it's the name of your grandchild. Maybe it's the name of your child's teacher. Maybe it's your daughter who's a teacher. Son who's a teacher, maybe a coach, right? And so what we want to be doing is we want to be praying over these people that God is laying on our heart, that this year would just not be an ordinary year, that somehow, some way, God shows up, the bell starts ringing to get the attention and say, hey, I'm here. Jesus is coming to school today. He's going with you. So who is that? Who is is that that you need to be praying for? Who is that that you're saying, this is the person that God has laid on my heart? And it could be one name, it could be two names, it could be three names. I don't care. Just put the name. Just put the name, because what we want is we want this board to represent. These are names. These are people that we're praying for. Specifically today is to come back to school. Whether it's parent, student, educator, whatever that looks like, we want you to just put those names and just say, let us be praying for them. It may be an entire, maybe a school that you're going to write. We want you to put that down and let's pray over this thing. Can we do that? Father, we thank you. We thank you that as you lead us into these moments, God, that you lead us to this time, we're going to give you our hearts, we're going to give you our minds, and we're going to pray, Lord, that the people that are on our mind, we're going to be praying over them today. And so, Lord, we thank you for this moment. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this time as we come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as they play and lead us in this, go ahead and step out. Let's put those names on this board.